Well, what can I say? We all mess up. We get things wrong. And these are those things that we got wrong. Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
We're back. I keep quitting this show.
And then starting it. It's, you know.
What if every time we act like it's the last episode?
Well, you know, you got to keep them on the chain, as they say, or whatever they say. Keep them on the leash or keep them wanting more. I don't know. What do they say?
Yeah. Well, we got more stuff wrong, so we had to come back. And here
we
are.
We're always going to be getting things wrong. That's how this goes.
I told Sarah I wanted to do something different, though. I wanted to just talk about, like, general mistakes.
Yes.
80s and 90s throwback edition.
Yeah, I was going to say this is going to be a throwback edition. This is going to be a fun walk down memory lane. And yeah, I love this idea.
Okay, I'm so glad. Well, I mean, you're very like, you're a yes-ander.
Yeah, I'm also nostalgic for the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, why that? I wanted to call my mom after this experience. I can remember when I was about, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, I'm going through the mall with my mom, and she is being so, in my mind, so annoying because everything that she touches, it's like, oh my God, I wore that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. They think they're so new inventing all this stuff. I wore that same outfit. And I was like, no, you didn't. In my mind, like, shut up, mom. I am now walking through Target. Just the other night, I went to Target and I was like, I had that. I had that. I had that is my outfit from my homecoming. That is like everything. I am that person. And I'm going to call my mom and be like, I am so sorry if I made you feel in any way like, I don't know, if I was being a little brat then, because you can't not do that. I was alone in Target and out loud, audibly making these comments.
Reacting.
Yes.
Well, what are these fashions that you
saw? Things that are coming back that are, do you remember when we did these like layered dresses that almost were, they were cut on the bias, and you would wear jeans underneath, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I am wearing a pair of like parachute pants as
I was
going to
say, there's no way
I'm
parachute pants are back. What are you talking about? Let me see. Oh my gosh. It's like MC Hammer over there.
Drawstring at the bottom. Hello.
Why?
Hello.
You love that look?
I love them. Well, a lot of it is like, I love them. I love that I'm able now to wear all of the clothes that were like too trendy and out of my reach, or I didn't know, maybe like when I was like too young to really.
You didn't appreciate them at the time. You were wrong about them.
Or maybe it's stuff I wanted to wear, but my mom wouldn't buy it for me. And she's like, you don't need, you're not going to wear that. And now I'm like, I'm buying all the stuff.
Where did you buy those? Those are from Target.
Target.
You have parachute pants.
Correct.
And are they that material where it's like crunchy?
Yeah. I mean, these are more like, with the big old pockets on the side, drawstring waist. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. This is shocking because I really thought, well, because would you consider those hammer pants?
Yeah, they're hammer pant adjacent.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between a hammer pant?
I would say maybe a little more, a dropped crotch. You know that look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They're billowy.
Yeah.
And you're right. A dropped crotch.
A dropped crotch. And so.
This is a normal.
Yeah. Crotch. I'm also seeing a lot of those little tiny sunglasses, a lot of.
I don't know about those.
Like chokers.
I like a choker.
I love a choker. And remember those plastic ones? They looked almost like, you put it on.
Oh, they're stretchy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those are back, baby. It's almost
like a henna tattoo or something.
Yes.
You could rock that.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah. You're like, momentarily.
Yeah. It's back. And even the color palette. Do you remember when Gap did their jeans, the colorful jeans and capris? Oh my God, capris are back too. God. What are we doing? Stop it right now with those pedal pusher pants. And they're in bright colors. I can remember the commercial. It was the song was the I'm Just Mad About Saffron song. And it was to advertise yellow jeans for Gap.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something, they were also doing a...
I like how you call it the I'm Just Mad About Saffron song.
I don't know the name
of it. I think
it's
called Mellow Yellow.
Oh, I just like, because I was about
to
sing it.
To remember that lyric is really funny.
Because that's how the commercial started. I remember the commercial started and it was like, I'm just mad about saffron, saffron mad about me. And then they had like all the jeans like in yellow.
Yeah.
And I bought them.
I wore some bold jeans. Bold I had purple.
Jeans.
Green. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought I looked great. But I also went through an unfortunate tie period.
What?
Menswear. Like,
a tie.
Yeah, with a button up, like fully, like
Susie,
like Boss Baby. It was a female Boss
what
Baby.
What inspired this, Alex P. Keaton really, or what?
Yeah, like I was really into like yuppie, like hyper, like conservative. But I was why menswear? Why?
That's,
you know what I mean. I could have worn a brooch. If I was into that, like, what's their name? Where's the Diane Keaton?
Yeah, that look. I do like a tie. Yeah. I do like a tie. And, like,
I cannot wait to show you the picture.
But, yeah. Just regular every day, not even like a fancy occasion? Oh.
No, like to school. It's so embarrassing. God.
Did you have a briefcase? What are you styling it with? What are you styling a tie with? Like, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Yeah, like, whatever. Like, what are you... You're wearing a button-down shirt.
I think they were penny loafers, Sarah. I've got to be honest here.
I love this. I want to see these pictures so bad.
So ugly. It was a really bad time. I don't want to talk about it. Don't you feel
on
like...
On this podcast where we're talking about mistakes you made.
Where we reminisce and talk about regrets. I don't want to talk about it. But... Don't you feel like I get the throwback fashion that's always going to be a part of the situation, but like, doesn't it feel like a lack of ingenuity going on or innovation?
Yeah, I wonder what this is because it does go on, it seems like a 30-year cycle.
Seems like a 3-year cycle. You know what I mean? Where like, I feel like we were, the cycle's speeding up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Because, yes, there's 90s stuff in fashion now, but there's also, like, things that were in the aughts, like 2010, you'll see.
What do you think? What was the fashion then? I don't even know.
Low-rise jeans.
Oh, God. You're right. And you know what else is coming back? Ed Hardy. Not Steve Harvey. I was going to say Steve Harvey. That's not.
He's not coming back. R.I.P. Steve Harvey. Wait, wait.
Wait.
No, that's Steve
you're thinking of
Smash Mouth. No, I was thinking who's the lead singer of Smash Mouth that just died recently? Oh. Steve something.
I don't even know. Look, are we thinking of all the wrong people?
Steve Harvey. He is never coming back. I can't believe he was ever.
Steve
popular.
Harvey is still hosting.
There's no
Family
way.
Feud.
No one thinks he's cool.
No, but I don't think anybody thinks he's like cool, but I think that he is.
He's still thriving.
Yeah. He's like, it's all those game show hosts that they get comfy and that
it is
he's
like
not going
warp.
Anywhere.
It must be the best job in the world because those guys do not want to leave.
Job. Please, Susie, we would be so good at this job.
Well, we're not getting it because literally, are there any women doing any of this besides Mayim Bialik or whatever her name is? Mayim Bialik?
There was that one British woman, The weakest link.
You are
link.
The weakest
yes!
link.
Yes! That is it!
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah! That was like, so long ago, though.
I know. That's the only example I got.
There's like one female game show host for every 200 Steve Harveys.
I didn't mean Steve Harvey. I meant Ed Hardy. Ed Hardy is coming back. And I'm seeing all that low-rise jeans. It's that. And the trucker hats.
Ew.
Oh. And do you remember? Bad. Maybe you didn't wear this because... I don't. How did this go over in the old evangelical community? Do you remember the shirts that said "Jesus is my homeboy"?
Oh, like were they Abercrombie?
They were, and I don't know what they were. Maybe Abercrombie sold
just
something like
graphic
that.
Tees.
Yeah, it was a picture of like Jesus on it, and it would say "Jesus
that.
Is my homeboy," and they had hats, and it was.
I
like,
think they would have been okay with it.
I had that. Sure.
Did you? He yes. isn't even your homeboy, though. That's the
I
thing.
I know. We weren't
wow.
that tight.
I don't like it for you. I feel like that's wrong.
It felt like, well, I did go through a phase where I rebelled by becoming religious and going to church. And
I can't believe that didn't take.
I went to youth
it.
Group.
I went to youth group.
Yep. I went on a trip to Mexico to build houses. I did the whole thing.
There is a lot of overlap with like camp culture.
Oh yeah.
And Jesus culture.
Yeah.
Very wholesome.
Yeah.
The reason that kind of got me thinking about this era though was the death of OJ.
Oh, yes.
And then like the sort of recapping of that whole thing, which sort of it was like at the very end of the millennium.
Yes.
And so it felt like Adam was like, why is everyone talking about OJ? Who cares? It's just OJ. And I'm like, because
it was a thing.
It the whole thing was like encapsulated all these elements of culture.
Yeah.
In one little thing. And so it got me just thinking about all the stuff from that time period and how weird it was, including the real world, actually.
Yeah. It does, and I don't think I'm just reminiscing on this time period as like the good old days kind of thing, because that's not what I'm doing. And
yeah.
I don't think this is like the when you graduate high school and you always look back and go, oh, my senior year was the best kind of thing. I really do think that there is something unique about that time when we switched from basically like analog to digital, like, mm-hmm. and what was happening in society then, it was the birth of celebrity culture in like a way that we had never really seen before.
Yeah.
And then you have like media was different. Everything just, it felt like it was like pop culture shot out of a cannon.
Mm-hmm.
In that time period. And then it's just taken off from there. And
yeah, because it was literally the end of an era.
Yeah.
And you know how, like, people get annoyed whenever you do have, even, like, you know, the Make America Great Again thing. And then you have to ask, like, well, when was it great?
Right,
and for
right.
whom? I understand that, obviously, what the point of that is. Because for marginalized communities, it wasn't great in like the 50s or the
right.
60s or now. but some things I think may have been better in certain ways. And I don't like throwing the baby out with the bathwater
right.
and being like, no, everything was garbage.
Yeah.
And now it's improved.
What do you think is better? What are some of the things that are high up on your list?
Of that time period?
Yeah.
Forced boredom.
Yeah, that's top of my list too.
Yeah,
getting
to like
do nothing.
It at the time. I wanted to be entertained. That's why we all love our phones now.
Yeah,
it's great fun.
But what were your favorite?
What do you call it? Unintended consequence of that.
Yeah. What were your favorite boredom killers?
I had a gosh darn blast. I was like just running around laughing nonstop. I know that's what high school's all about generally.
Yeah.
But like if you don't have, you know, like you can't just sit on your phone. You just have to make silliness happen.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the things like pouring Elmer's glue on your hand, waiting for it to dry, and then peeling that off.
Wow, that is rock bottom boredom.
I love those things. Painting my nails with whiteout, that was always a fun thing to do in class.
Wow. Uh-huh. I never heard of that.
What?
No.
Oh, my God. That was like a whole phase that I feel
just
like.
Just you or everyone?
No, I feel like a lot of us were doing that. We're painting our nails with whiteout.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah. Just maybe it was like before like mom was buying us nail polish or something. Yeah.
Well, actually, this is a good segue for me to talk about, because you've mentioned digital culture and and how everything's different now. And we have a partner called Incogni, which is... I mean, because of digital culture, everything about you is online.
Yeah.
Anyone can find it, like me, who stalks everybody. You know, I'm always like finding out. Like, the reason I can do that is because pretty much if you live in the United States of America, I can find you.
Yeah.
And it's because of all these sites that just mine your data and put it out there. Your phone number, your email, your address, all this stuff about you. And Incogni gets rid of it for you.
Oh, wow.
And I signed up, and within like an hour, I got like 70 removals through this company.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's scary to think of where our stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere.
Oh.
And this is such a great thing.
Scrub the internet.
Can control. Yeah. You can control your data, reduce your spam.
Oh, I'm sure. I bet you don't get those, like the dark web now has your email address.
For real.
Right.
I'm constantly getting like data breaches and whatever. And so this company, Incogni, they reach out to these data brokers and request on your behalf the removal. I mean, you could do it manually, but since you have a life.
Who's got the time? I'm not
doing
that.
Do not want to do that. It's such a pain. You have to do it one by one. All you do is like create an account and then put in some of your info and then they do the rest. It's just watch it happen. And have you not ever gotten an alert about these breaches?
Of course I have.
Yeah, you've been compromised.
All the time.
It's awful. Everyone has, yeah. So here's the thing. Check them out. We have a code, which is WRONG, WRONG, at incogni.com/wrong, and you get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan.
Nice.
So just sign up with our code WRONG at incogni.com/wrong and then get 60% off, and they are going to take care of you.
Yeah. The internet sure as heck isn't.
It's the Wild West, and...
Yeah.
It's not getting any better.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for partnering with us, Incogni. Yeah. Okay. I did want to say, so remember when we met Kato Kaelin?
Oh, my God. Yes. And you said the fucking funniest line I will never forget.
What?
You said, either you said this to him or you talked about saying this to him. You said, I love you from the OJ trial.
That's so bad. I hope I didn't actually say it.
Yeah, that was so funny. We did celebrity poker, and he was there at the celebrity poker event.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely, either he passed by and then you said it to me. You were like, Kato Kaelin, I love you from the OJ trial. I loved you on the OJ trial or something like that.
He was very nice to us.
Fucking hilarious. He was very nice. We have to find that photo.
He's a fascinating character from that time period because what a random thing. Like, he lived in OJ's guest house and he had that beachy, like, bleach blonde hair.
Surfer dude look.
Frosted tip kind of deal, which was very popular. And he was handsome, but he also was sort of like painted as a complete bimbo.
Yeah.
And because he was like a failing actor or whatever. And this poor guy is just trying to, like, mooch off of OJ, which I love.
Right. Don't blame him. Right.
Yeah. Free housing in this guest house and then gets roped into this life-changing nightmare. And I just saw an interview with him where he was talking about how because OJ was going to McDonald's that night and Cato basically like tagged along and he could tell OJ didn't even want him to come, but he didn't care. He's just like, let's go get some burgers. Uh-huh. So they go to Mickey D's and then they come home. And so he becomes this important element of the timeline of like, is it possible?
Yes.
That OJ did this. And he was talking about how every detail was so important in this trial and he had to report every moment that even now, 30 years later, he still tracks each day by time.
Oh,
like what
no.
he heard on the radio, like what he did,
oh, no.
who he saw. Yeah, because he has like PTSD.
He sure does.
Can you believe that?
That's not good.
Yeah, like he... It got like hardwired for him to be like, this is important. You have to track every moment of your day.
Ah, so that in the future, if something were to happen, okay, his brain said that's how you feel are safe or make sure that you're safe or something.
Can you imagine?
Wow. Did he strike you as somebody who would be working with a therapist when we met him?
Did you say who was seeing a therapist?
Yeah. Like, does he strike you as somebody who would, like, go to therapy?
No.
Me neither. And I didn't want to just make that flash judgment, but I kind of felt, or, like, say something I don't know shit about. But that is kind of the feeling I got. And I think he's somebody who really should with those kind of behaviors.
Well, what would you say don't do that, though? Because I guess it's not no harm done, but...
Well, I would say how are those... If you have a life where there is a hyper focus or vigilance mm-hmm. around safety in that way, then that means that a lot of your life is run by fear. And I would wonder what that was doing in a way to like keep him in a fight or flight kind of place.
Survival like it
would,
mode.
Yeah. That it would be hard to relax the mind. And, you know, I wouldn't even, if I worked with him, I wouldn't even talk about stopping those things. I would instead work on increasing the feelings of safety. And, you know, it's kind of like any, it feels like OCD. This is like this is a behavior. If I don't do this, something bad will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work on that.
One thing, I don't know if you would say they got it wrong or we just didn't know about it really at the time, but like, why do you think it's the case that now, still, nobody is being like, OJ clearly has had CTE?
I think they are saying that.
I haven't heard anybody.
Really?
No.
I feel like I've heard this. And now that he's deceased, what do? They should check his brain.
Well, it would have to have been in his like requests. But I don't think he was hoping for that.
Or would you hope for that and you can be like, see, that would be, I want to know. Like,
it would ruin his whole lie for this, all this time he's maintained this absurd lie that he didn't do it.
Right. Yeah, but it would just answer a lot of questions.
That's for sure, but I think we know.
Even the maintaining the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we know.
Come on. Yeah. I like, though, when people... Bob Costas, by the way, I love that guy, that sports
anchor. Yeah.
He's so smart and interesting, but he was one of OJ's really good friends. But he was talking about him after the death and saying, like, basically saying, like, we all know he did it. And he was just acknowledging that.
Yeah.
Because it seems silly to not.
Right.
Do you know anyone in your life who thinks he didn't do it?
No.
No, I don't know anyone that... I bet you, like, somebody in the house, like Johnny on the challenge. You know, people like that would be like, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody like that. Just a conspiracy theorist, in a way.
Okay, so... Another thing I wanted to mention was, you know how like, so we're talking about the 80s and 90s. I don't think there's one for the 80s, but there's definitely a Dark Side of the 90s series.
Oh, yeah.
I think they have like a Woodstock episode.
Oh, yep.
And I think they have like a Real World one, maybe a reality TV. Do you think that we got anything wrong about like the Real World back in the day?
Back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Like as a viewer.
Oh, as a viewer.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it premiered in 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the obvious is the belief that, like, I think, like, maybe, like, the creating of, like, celebrity out of the people who were the cast. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not even something that we could help, like, or anything we got wrong. But I think with that, and something you and I talk about frequently, is that there is all the good, all the bad, and none of the good. You know, mm-hmm. you have people who are kids, really,
mm-hmm.
that then become these, I don't know, role models or mentors, or, you know, are put in this position where people are looking at them as examples, and they're all just like people at a really awkward time of their life.
Yeah.
And they're going to be good stuff. I don't know. It just feels like our creating of celebrity around people on reality TV was
one way that the shows have changed that I'm inclined to not like, but I wanted to hear your point of view is how, so back in the early days of the show, reality TV mm-hmm. and Real World in particular, the point of it was that these people are not going to agree. They have totally different points right. of view, and they're going to hopefully talk about it and learn more about the other and maybe change
yeah.
in one way or the other. And now whenever somebody says anything like offensive that right. on camera, they just don't include it because then there's like this groundswell of rage right. that can happen and the audience gets mad and maybe they boycott the show because so-and-so's a racist or so-and-so's a yeah. Anti-gay or whatever it is right. that may be offensive. And on one hand you think, well, that's good because we don't want to give that a platform and a megaphone to like spread. Yeah. But I really liked that.
I do too. And I think you have to show that kind of stuff to have people then view it like through a critical lens and say, this is not okay, which is what you hope happens and what a good editing and good production of the show will show, where mm-hmm. like the person who made the gay slur, whatever, is not the good guy. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're the ones who have to, you know, change their ways. And I think that that's a good thing for people to see, that there are people who are homophobic. There are people who are, and seeing how people react to those statements, manage those statements, whatever it may be, like, can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it doesn't have the same, they don't have the same approach of like free speech where you can have a really bad right. opinion and that can be said on the air. Now, if you threaten someone,
right.
you know, that's how it is like on campuses. Like if you're allowed to say offensive things, but if you tell someone you're right. going to kill them in particular, or you want to kill all of a certain group of people,
right.
well, that's inciting violence. It's not covered by free speech. Like yeah. there are limits.
Right.
Why couldn't reality TV have that same approach?
Right. And then there's just consequences for those behaviors, but I think showing yeah. them is not a bad thing.
Because like on The Bachelor even, you'll hear a cast member they'll like go through their old tweets and then they'll be like, I can't believe they cast this person. They have these terrible views. But it's like, isn't...
People have terrible views.
Most people.
Yeah.
Have at least one or two. I have right. tons. Everybody hates me all the time and my terrible opinions. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because in a way, if you just cut it out of the show, you're kind of protecting.
Right. Well, that's why I think that we didn't get anything wrong with how we were doing reality television back then, because it was actually reality. I think what the problem is that it's turned into unscripted television, which is very different than reality television.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, though? Do you think that the reason that that shift happened is because they had to keep upping the ante?
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
I think it was upping the ante, and then I don't know. It's like there's a little more control that maybe they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be more challenging to do things without that control.
The
control over what could be happening, how things go. Yeah. Yes. The producers.
Yeah. They have to work harder.
Yes. Yeah. To do it the more organic, authentic way.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things from that time period that culturally and politically that were wrong. You know, like I was thinking about 80s, the whole nightmare of the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget because it's different now, but that was like, unreal.
I remember that episode of Oprah. I think it was Oprah where she was in the town.
Yes.
Where people wouldn't go swimming in the same pool as somebody that was HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild, the lack of, or like just like the lack of information we had and the ignorance around.
Well, literally, they didn't know what it was and all of that. It was scary.
Oh, I saw a thing recently that was a huge mistake. It was the city of Chicago, and they were setting the record, or tried to set set the record for most balloons released. Have you seen video
so
of this?
Stupid, no.
Susie, it gets so bad. Okay, so they release, I mean, it looks like millions of balloons. There's so many that just look like a swarm of bees or something. Like, you know when the birds do that thing where I can't remember the name of it, but they all move like that? Yeah. It looks like that. And so they release all these balloons, and they had estimated, people who were, I don't know, like talking about doing this project, had estimated that about 10% of the balloons would go into whatever body of water is there. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, the river?
The river, yeah. Well, it must be something bigger
than
that.
There's lots of lakes around.
Yeah, because it's a lake. It was a big lake that they all the balloons ended up falling in, this big lake, at the same time that there was a missing persons search going on for people who were boaters that like fell overboard. And so there's search and rescue trying to find these two bobbing heads in the middle of a huge lake with helicopters searching over and everything. And then all of a sudden, thousands of balloons are in the water. they couldn't find him. They called off the search after 24 hours, and they never found recovered the people because they could not find them amongst this ocean of balloons.
That is insane.
It was an environmental disaster.
What were they thinking, though?
I do not know. It gives me goosebumps to think about, like, when you see the footage, it's just like, oh my God, who thought this was a fucking good idea? It's like that record setting, like,
I'm telling you. Can we just abolish the world record community?
Come on.
Organization.
It's not because good.
I mean, what are they really bringing to the table here? Is the benefit of
They would say
Guinness?
The world's greatest table, the world's tallest table, the world's smallest.
Honestly,
table.
I don't know of any time where I'm like, boy, thank gosh for the Guinness World Book of Records. They really came in handy this time. Never. It's always bad. It's always stupid.
Yeah, I'm trying
Tell me, you have to do like Sarah's got a counterpoint.
It was, I was wrong. It was Cleveland, not. Oh. I have to just show a little bit of you.
Sarah got wrong in real time.
Yeah, in real time, the actual city that it happened in. Yeah. And when
did they get their stupid record?
When you see, look at what that looks like. Those are all balloons. That's like a swarm.
That's the dumbest idea.
The dumbest idea. It was called the Balloon Fest that went horribly wrong. If you want to read more, there's a whole article on the Atlantic about it. Yeah, it was in 1986 in Cleveland. The United Way of Greater Cleveland, a nonprofit, staged a fundraiser in which they attempted to beat Disneyland's Guinness World Record for most balloons released simultaneously.
Did they? Did they beat it?
They did, but
because that would be
it wrecked havoc. It was Lake Erie. And it impeded a Coast Guard search and a rescue mission for two missing fishermen. Yep. Shortcomings of humankind is what they called it. I mean, look at that. All those.
That is ridiculous. That's,
think about the I didn't even hear that last thing that you asked me or said to me, the counterpoint I was supposed to make because I was too caught up on the Cleveland balloon disaster.
I
want to
know the counterpoint of World records. Stupid.
I see. Here's my counterpoint, and I do have one. The people who, actually, as soon as I try to think of it, it just at a certain point starts sounding like a worse and worse idea. Like, you know, I do feel like for feats of like strength and, you know, the most somebody's ever lifted or the most baskets ever made in a single game or something like that.
It's
like
stupid.
Those kind of sports records.
What about it?
That, I don't know, that the push for like a desire to beat a record like that can equal greatness. I don't know. Like,
No, because even, you know, when we watch what?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
I'm going to say, you know how I get so stoked when I hear that the NCAA women's final had the most views of any basketball game. That's a way in the way a record. And I love
I see what you're meaning, but it's almost like there's two different things. There's like things that just sort of happen organically. Like, you know, we didn't all come together and plan to make it the most watched game or something. We just liked it and watched it. These ones where it's like, we're going to release these balloons.
Right.
And it's going to be awesome.
In an attempt,
we're going to get a certificate.
Only to get. I'm with you for that. Yeah.
Any kind of world record attempt should be illegal.
But then you could argue every single season of every single basketball season could be an attempt at a record. But you're not going
not,
in with
though.
That in, that per, that intention.
There's no attempt. It just happened. And then we learn later. Oh, it turned out.
Right.
That's different.
Yeah.
These idiots that are like, they'll call the world record people and be like, hey, I'm going to jump on this pogo stick for 14 days. come on down. And then they have this idiot come with a clipboard.
Yeah.
To document some dumb thing.
Do you think the people who are doing the documenting are really into it? Or do you think they're like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go
I
again.
Think they are so into it that yeah. they look for reasons to disqualify
oh,
these poor souls who yeah, only meaning of life like, is on a pogo
yep,
stick.
Good job. Chuck, chuck, chuck. Like, yeah. you know, I would be like the worst. Guinness. I'd be like, yeah, you that looks great. Winner.
Yeah.
You did so good. First place.
yeah.
I'll put you in the books. It'll be, it's fine. Here's your certificate.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. the world record, although we have already talked about how much fun it is to look through that book. That's like the only good part about the yeah. world record is the book.
Yeah.
Where you get to see all the pictures yeah. of like toenails that curl over and
Okay, what? Let me see what else I got. Oh, here's something that we got really wrong, but I remember there being a lot of hubbub about. And... The what? Y2K changeover.
Oh my gosh, great example.
Yeah.
Boy, that, oh boy.
I remember like being like, oh no, thing it's gonna we our clocks can't handle this. What are they gonna do? Everything is gonna go to mm-hmm. shit. like it happened, it was just like click. Like
okay, 2000. But the people, the experts, all say yeah. that the reason nothing happened is because of all that. Like hype, like they there was such a big deal
yeah.
put on it that then all these tech companies had to like remedy the bug in the oh. computer systems, which
so
prevented.
So maybe there could have been a Y2K
meltdown.
Yeah, that's
what they say.
Wow, I didn't know that, Suze. That's yeah. kind of exciting.
Yeah, like all the airlines, all the banks, like if they hadn't done anything, if they were like, it's fine. Then there really would have been like a collapse.
What?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's really interesting. I was yeah. like, man, we were all so silly. Wow. okay.
But that's the problem with sort of like preventative, like even preventative medicine, where then nothing happens and that's good. But
right. And then we
then
don't
people
look
think,
at the
well, you
things.
Overreacted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
it's so effective.
Right. That I didn't even need to do that in the first place. But actually you did because that's why we're here. Okay. Got it.
But to your point, what was like adjacent to that was this fear that there was like an apocalypse thing.
Yeah.
That yeah. was unfounded.
I have always, I because this was my first experience with like the threat of apocalypse or something like that. I mean, we've had many since then, but mm-hmm. I can even remember then being like, all right, let's fucking do this. Let's go. Like ready.
This is your
for
time to
this.
Shine.
Yes. I, and I mean, how old was I then? 14. Yeah.
To me, it feels like there's so much of a greater possibility of all that now, because for real, if you did get rid of whatever it is, the system that the internet lives on, yeah. all those yeah. servers, we would be friggin' screwed.
Totally screwed. There, I just saw something that said all of Alaska Airlines had to ground all of their flights.
Yes. Why?
Because of a computer problem. And could you, that's terrifying.
That, right.
Quick, everybody land. We don't know what the computers are doing. And you,
yeah, like the grid, whatever the grid is.
Yeah.
Whatever the made of. It's like the dark web where I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I yeah. hear about it.
Yeah.
It sounds important.
Right.
And if somebody F's with that grid,
we're all
is it
fucked.
A thing that is somewhere?
I think that they are talking about the electrical grid, like you getting electricity from
yes.
a main power source.
Yeah.
And that people who live off the grid are not connected to that.
Power and water.
Power and water.
Well, that thing seems real important.
And real, the grid seems real important.
I get the feeling maybe it's not as protected as we would want it to
right.
be.
I would probably agree that it's like that... You know, all it takes is one guy eating a jelly donut A little drip in the back.
Asleep at the wheel, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Next thing you know, it's the apocalypse.
Right.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Were you wrong about any shows being good? Like if you watch them now, you're like, this is a terrible show.
Oh. I think
what were you watching back then?
I think they're, well, now I have that feeling about all that and all that kind of stuff that...
We like, were wrong about that.
Really wrong.
Nickelodeon.
It feels Nickelodeon a lot. Yeah, I was watching Ren and Stimpy. I was watching a lot of cartoons and shows that now I'm like, that is not appropriate. I was even watching Pee-wee's Playhouse. The sexual jokes, I didn't get any of them. But I just recently watched an episode and Pee-wee... goes to pick a mirror up off the ground, and Miss Yvonne is standing there in her skirt, and he adjusts the mirror to look up her skirt and goes, mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he just looked up her skirt with the mirror. Mm-hmm. This is what I watched as a child.
Mm-hmm.
What in the goddamn hell?
Right. And then do you think we were right in canceling Paul Rubens? After his incident?
Okay. Didn't he wasn't he just like playing with himself at an adult film?
Yeah, but you're not allowed.
Okay, that I think is fucking stupid.
It's so stupid.
I don't understand.
What is the
point?
What
the hell? You're watching it for the fucking plot line. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they're wrong.
Yes!
Yeah, okay.
Like, is it appropriate? No. Is it a good thing to be doing? No. But is it like, oh my God, this guy's a monster for going to a sex show and rubbing one out? I mean, I bet there are people listening who have rubbed one out in a regular theater.
Yeah, right.
So, please, mm-hmm. I've definitely put my hands down somebody else's pants in a movie theater before.
Good Lord,
so,
Sarah.
Come on.
Right.
Get a little under-the-pants action in the dark? Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What are some other things that were on my list? Okay, Y2K panic. What do you think? Was the Rachel haircut a mistake or not?
I think that was not a mistake. You think it was?
I got it, and it was. I'm going to show. I'm going to show
personally.
You the. I'm going to show you the picture. I'm going to find the picture. It's right over there.
You didn't look cute. Why? Why?
No.
I would think you would look great because you have nice angles.
It did not look good on me, and I think what it was. Maybe that's it. There was nothing wrong with the Rachel haircut. There was something wrong with the curly girl trying to. Do the Rachel haircut.
Don't blame the Rachel.
Right. It might be my hair, but it was not good.
Every time I watch those episodes, like that season, I think it was season 2 of Friends, I'm like, that is one great head of hair.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, and then we all thought we could do it. I think that's where the mistake was.
That is the mistake. That, bingo.
You're
right. That's the mistake. It's us thinking that we could... You know,
right? It's not the cut.
Yeah, I bring in the haircuts to the, you know, and like show pictures, and I'm like, make me look like this, and Never going to look like that.
No, me neither. I think that I've just gotten back into watching Friends. And I laugh audibly every episode.
Oh, it's so good.
It genuinely makes me LOL.
Yeah.
And so you know how there's a lot of like discussion now about how the Friends writer's room was all men. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that maybe an occasional woman or person of color that was in there, like they were made to feel really uncomfortable. Oh, I hate that. Because they're always trying to come up with these stories and a lot of them have to do with hooking up and stuff. And so writer's rooms are a real problem in that way.
Yeah.
But I was watching and I thought, I cannot fault these writers because they're really funny. Really, and even like the female plot lines, I feel like are not, like, they're accurate.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes. I love it. And I think that is a show that is held up. You can watch that with any Gen Z. They're into it, too.
It's still funny.
They love it.
And, you know, they say you have to have representation in these rooms because then more people will feel seen and relate to the stories. But I don't know how they did it.
Well, Broken Clock is right two times a day.
So. Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe every now and then.
It's like so funny to me. Why do you think it was like, what was it about it was unique?
Yeah. I think it was, and the character, I think it's the actors.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was something about them being together because separately, not so much.
You're right. There was some magic. And I think it was something where we all wanted that. You know, we all wanted a friend group with the feeling of, could somebody in this friend group be my forever person? And we just don't even know it yet. There was just a lot of, of hopefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Hope in the, in the show.
Yeah.
And like an embracing of like quirkiness. Like if you were, I think like I related to Phoebe so much and she was like weird, but it made like, we got this weird friend and she's going to like run weird and dress funny and say funny things, but we love her and she's a valuable part of this. And I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. Bring it back.
Acceptance. And it can't be duplicated. I don't think it's like people have tried.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I love that show. I still do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there were shows. You know what? My feelings have changed about one thing that I watched in the 80s and 90s, and that is Oprah.
Oh.
That bitch, man, she is. She is.
Yeah.
In a different situation right now. Like, people are not into her because she is getting worse at
She's getting worse at being relatable because she's Oprah.
But why did we ever, we used to think she was.
I think she was before.
Okay, what happened?
I think in the same way, celebrity, I think in this, you come disconnected in the same way when Ellen did her latest comedy special relatable, and you and I are both like not relatable at all. That is that you are too disconnected from being like a regular person.
But the entire run of her show, she was a cultural icon.
Yeah, but
and
it's
we still
different.
Thought she was like our pal,
right?
And then something happened after that show ended, and she no longer understood like how to handle like digital culture.
Yeah.
And she started saying dumb stuff and like doing that fundraiser for the Hawaii fires and all kinds of stuff. And you're just like, Oprah, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into it.
Yeah.
You know what was the first red flag? She had a show called, I forget, it was on her network, the Oprah Network. And it was like behind the scenes and the making of the Oprah Winfrey Show. And you would see all of her producers like basically sleeping in their offices because they could never go home because she was like everything had to be perfect because it's Oprah. And they were like, her whole theme was living your best life. And these people were all like, they'd have like a donut at, you know, 2 a.m. Oh. And that was like their dinner.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, she's just selling something that the she's image, not actually. The
whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, Oprah.
Okay. All right. I'll keep on the lookout. And yeah, that's but how I think I feel. It's like too disconnected and from.
Yeah, that's what reality. I'm saying though, Sarah, is she was a celebrity that whole time. So I don't know what went wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you agree that she's like.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I totally do. And I think the whole like selling Ozempic thing or selling the, you know, weight loss stuff after you've been like, pick a lane. You either are accepting of everybody and, you know, we're just trying to be the healthiest, best versions of ourselves, or you're not good enough and you have to the way you are and you have to use this or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that. It's obviously not what she's saying, but that's, I mean, the vibe that maybe we could pick up.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I feel like, go ahead.
I was just going to give you another thing that I think we got wrong.
Yeah, but, do it.
The low-fat craze.
Oh my gosh, good one.
Yeah.
That is such a good one, Sarah.
Every fucking thing was low-fat. And there's no need, we don't need that. Like, that's not actually helping with anything. Like, we know now.
Yeah, that was so great.
And it was just like, the zero calorie, da-da-da. And do you remember those what were they called? They were in a green packaging.
Yeah, Snackwells.
Snackwells!
Yeah.
Those things.
We were crazy about those things.
When you pitch something to a very, to a 13-year-old who feels shame about her body, and you pitch it as this is a low fat, like you can eat these cookies and you won't gain weight, she will eat the whole box.
She
is me.
Yes.
And so it like didn't do anything helpful because I would probably end up having twice as much, if not way more than that.
Yeah. Well, in order for it to taste good, they got rid of that fat and then they had to double the sugar.
Oh, God.
That's how they made them edible.
Yeah.
Because fat is flavor.
And so delicious.
Which ones did you like? Those chocolate, cakey ones? Yes. They were so good.
Yep. I can feel biting into the one right now.
Oh, no.
Dude, I'm going to go get some Snackwells. The fucking town. Are those even still around? You're like,
maybe we weren't wrong.
But no. You know?
Yeah, but that was like real. But what? So you kind of feel like maybe we'll say we were wrong about Ozempic one day.
Yes, I do. Yes, in the same way we're wrong about Ally, in the same way, because there's no, I mean, there are things that can are supportive, but it's like anything. There's going to be like a give and take. It's like anything. There's like harm control and harm reduction that you have to do. But, you know, in the same way of like there are long-term side effects to antipsychotic medication. There are long-term side effects for fucking Tylenol, I'm sure, or like anything that you take for a long time, you know?
Yeah, anything.
So I just think that it's going to be interesting to see what the long-term side effects are. That may be better for some people than living with many extra 100 pounds on your body and what that does.
Right. Yeah. It's like cost benefit.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But
all right. We'll yeah. We'll have to wait and find out about that. Yeah, but Snackwells.
I will say, Snackwells are delicious, but I will say the whole fat, low fat craze of the 90s, as well as the whole emaciated stick figure, like that look to me is so gross.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that came with that. It was not a good time.
So extreme.
So extreme. And we were like glorifying people who now today talk about how sick they were.
Mm-hmm.
That is so sad.
Who says that though? Who even acknowledges it?
There are a lot of models from that time period who are now not models or were just in that business for a little while who will say that I had an eating disorder then. And then they get healthy and then they lose their job and they say, you know, I have to do like, well, it was for the best and blah, blah, blah. But in reflect now, you hear them, they're like maybe in their 50s now. So a lot of these models who are, you know, younger then are saying how that was the most like awful time of their life when they were the most ill and the things that they were doing to maintain that body were just so unhealthy.
It's such a weird thing for us all to like be on the same page about, be like, yep, that's the ideal.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Which makes me think there is going to be something that we're doing right now. And I would imagine it's a lot of the extreme cosmetic procedures where people are getting, you know, ribs removed or fat, where the you're changing the ratios of your body in such an extreme way.
Even regular plastic surgery is the dumbest thing ever, and I've had it.
Yeah.
It's so, if you think about it for even a minute, it's like, I cannot believe we are doing that.
Wild that you are like putting your, risking the things that could go wrong.
It's so stupid.
I will talk myself out of any and all, like, nope, please. I almost talked myself out of the medical procedure I needed for like, for my own health. Right. I was like, I probably don't need this. I can just live with these insane cramps. It's probably fine. I could probably manage this for the rest of my life.
So true.
Because I just didn't want to go through surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that is so much better than what the rest of us do, which is like, I definitely need this insane thing. Breast implants are the dumbest thing ever. It makes no sense.
That's so funny since you're an owner of a pair.
Yeah, and I do struggle with, we live in a society where if you conform, be it with extreme weight loss or breast implants or whatever, you will be rewarded. There are benefits. You may make more money. You might find a partner that you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, same as those stick figure models back then.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
I struggle with it because I know that it's insane, but what are we, it's a collective delusion that we live in.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Cause I don't want to be like that, but I also don't want to
I think be maybe like focus on the things, I don't know, focus on the deeper
our personalities,
things, like the things that are
matter.
Yeah.
You're like, Suze, I think it's like having priorities.
But it's like this constant battle we're in with like pressure to like look a certain way and conform like that, but then also be mindful and be centered and believe in yourself and have self-worth and blah, 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 blah. And those two things don't go together.
Yeah. Well, we're screwed. That's what I'm taking away from this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, did you get out of bed? Did you take a bath today? Great. Did you shower? Good job. High five. Crushing it. Keep up the good work.
We're never going to overcome this stuff, though. Cato Kaelin's still writing down his daily diary.
I know. Go to therapy. Drink your water.
All right.
Stay hydrated.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Who knows if this is the last episode? Probably.
No.
Probably not.
I have way more on my list.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.